Yes, now I can see that the recording is on. Thank you, Ida. So welcome to Departure Orientation for students going abroad. My name is Tiina Savela. I work as an international coordinator at the international office. I'm in charge of our bilateral student exchanges, so exchanges which take place outside Europe. And we also have Laura Laumanen from the international office. Would you like to say hi?
Sure. Hello, everyone. Glad to have you here. I also work at the international office, and I'm in charge of outgoing ISEP and Nordlys students. We also have a third colleague, Auli Pitkänen, who takes care of Erasmus mobility, outgoing Erasmus mobility.
Thank you, Laura. And a few instructions for you during this session. We advise students to keep their microphone muted and camera turned off during this session, because usually we have a lot of students taking part. But since there are only a couple of you, I don't mind that if you have a question, you can also just open your mic and ask if you have a question. You don't necessarily need to write your question in the chat. You can, but you can just open your mic, because we have so little of you today taking part in this session. But as I mentioned, we will record the session, and the recording will be available for 2 weeks from the date of publishing on our website. And we will put the recording and the slides of this session to our website, including yesterday's sessions. I will tell you what we had yesterday on the next slide. But the slides and the recording will be published on the Internationalization and Student Exchange website under Recent News. And then there's the news departure orientation. So you can find them later this week on our website. And yesterday we had the same session in Finnish. And I believe I saw your names in the participant list somewhere. So you might have taken part in that as well, or you were there for a little while at least. So you know that we had the same session in Finnish yesterday, but now we are having the same content today in English. But yesterday we also had a few more sessions. From Movi, we had Lotta Kokkonen. She's an intercultural communication teacher. So she talked about how to face new cultures and how to get the most out of your stay abroad. I don't know if you took part in that session yesterday. It was given in English. If you didn't, we will have the recording from that session on our website as well later this week. And we also had some language teachers from Mobi. They talked about how to practice your language skills before the exchange, and that was given in English as well, and that recording will be available on our website later. Then we had security specialist from the university, Teemu Keränen, who talked about security during your travel and security abroad. That session was in Finnish, but we will provide you with the slides in English. And then we had a nurse from the UTHS, or Student Healthcare Service, and she talked about vaccinations and healthcare for outgoing exchange students. So the slides will be in English from that session, but it was given in Finnish. And then we also have the country-specific orientations, and I hope that you took part in them yesterday. And some of those country-specific orientations might have been recorded. It was up to the speaker, to the student speaker who gave the orientation on whether or not it would be recorded. So if it has been recorded, we will publish them also on our website. And then we can begin with the impact of COVID-19 pandemic on student exchanges. I wish I didn't have to talk about COVID-19 anymore, but we are still in the situation that it might affect our student exchanges next autumn semester as well. But the University of Jyväskylä has decided that student exchanges are possible, provided that the entry to the host country is permitted. The host university or the host organization, if you are going for an internship abroad, welcomes the student, and the student has decided to go abroad for the mobility period, despite being aware of the risks. And internships abroad are possible under the same conditions as student exchanges. If the student has an internship agreement, and if the sending department or sending Engineering faculty grants credits for the planned internship. So these are the terms that you have to fulfill if you go for an internship abroad. So basically, you can go anywhere despite the pandemic. However, mobilities are not possible to countries, areas where the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Finland advises against all travel. So you cannot go to countries like that, for example, to Russia at the moment. But otherwise, the pandemic does not affect your host, that you are able to go to any country despite the pandemic. But there might be some impacts of the pandemic on student exchanges. So it's impossible to predict the COVID-19 situation in different countries next autumn. Hopefully everything will be better, but we don't have a crystal ball, so we don't know at this point. So we are still forced to tolerate uncertainty. And whether or not a mobility can take place will be determined just before the beginning of the mobility period. For example, during this spring, some of the exchanges which took place in Japan were canceled at about a week's notice before the exchange should have taken place. So things can still happen. Travel restrictions may still be possible. So please follow the instructions of the university, of the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare, and the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland or of your home country. And remember that you will be responsible for your own mobility, of course, within the restrictions set by our university. And please notice that special arrangements during the pandemic may cause you extra expenses. For example, if you have to stay in quarantine when you arrive to the host country. And you probably know this already, but the university recommends that all students get vaccinated for the COVID-19. So if you haven't already been vaccinated, please go and have the vaccination as soon as possible. And to support you when you make your decision, we have gathered more detailed information on our website about the impacts of the coronavirus epidemic on student exchanges. So you can also go there and have a look at more detailed impacts. And we at the International Office are here to help you with your exchange practicalities as well. And also the faculties, they have their own international coordinators who you can also turn to, especially if you're going for an Erasmus exchange. They are there to help you. And more about the impacts of the pandemic. So the host university may decide to, at short notice, not to accept exchange students. The host university may offer all or the majority of the courses online, and they also may need to cancel courses. So this has happened this spring as well, I'm afraid. There may be breaks in teaching or the semester may be interrupted. Incoming exchange students may be required to stay in quarantine after arrival. And as I mentioned, you would probably have to pay the quarantine accommodation separately yourself, depending on your exchange program. And you might have to get tested for the COVID-19 before the exchange at the airport or within 72 hours of arrival. And this will, of course, be extra expenses for you. And the curfews may be in place in the host country, which prevents travel during free time. This may still be possible in some countries. Hopefully not, but we don't know. And then the accommodation arrangements for exchange students may vary from normal during the exchange. Orientation program and advising of students may be organized virtually. And free time activities normally arranged for exchange students may be cancelled or implemented virtually. The host university may follow the health of students with no symptoms, for example, by measuring their temperature when they enter the campus. And when returning to Finland after your exchange, you may be required to present a certificate of a negative COVID-19 test or proof certifying that you have had the disease or a vaccination certificate. Or you may be required to take the COVID-19 test again upon entry, depending on the country or the region of departure before arriving in Finland. So these will be extra expenses again. And then we will move on to the practical matters that we want to tell you today. On our website, you can find the checklist for outgoing exchange students. And we will talk about this similar topics today. So we will tell you a little bit on things you need to do before the exchange, during the exchange, and after the exchange as well. And Laura will begin with the before the exchange section.
Thank you, Tiina. So before you applied to your host university, you have probably already found out quite a lot about your host university. But now that you know where you are going, it's time to explore and get to know your host university in more detail. Information on the host university can, of course, be found on the website of the host university. You can also ask questions from your faculty level international coordinator, especially if you are going on Erasmus or Nord Plus exchange, or from the international office, especially if you are going to bilateral, ICEP or Nord Plus exchange. The travel reports that students who have studied abroad in the previous years are perhaps one of the best tools for you to get advice and tips and information on your host university from those who have actually experienced studying at the university in question themselves. You can also get in touch with the former exchange students who have studied abroad previously, and you can contact us for the contacts, and we can then provide you with them. Some of the host universities may also have some social media groups for their incoming exchange students, so it might be worthwhile to get into those as well. For some of you, you may have already applied to your host university. As you may know, the application process consists of two stages. You first apply for student exchange at our university, and you have all done that through Mobility Online. And the next step is to fill in the application forms of the host university. Many of the universities have online application systems in which you have to fill in their application. Typical attachments in the application include a transcript of records, which you can download yourself from SISU. The transcript that you can get from SISU is electronically signed. If for some reason your host university doesn't accept an electronically signed transcript, you can order a handwritten and a stamped transcript from the student services from the university website. And you can then get a transcript which is signed and stamped and scanned and sent to your email address. Another typical attachment is a learning agreement, especially for Erasmus students. We will talk about the learning agreement in more detail in some of the upcoming slides. The deadlines for applying vary between universities, so please make sure you know the deadline, the application deadline to your host university. And remember that you are responsible for submitting the application documents on time, so please take care of this and find out about the application process yourself if you do not have this information yet. Typically, the application for the autumn semester takes place in spring during this time, or even before, and for the spring semester, the application usually takes place during the autumn months. It is good to set your learning goals for your own mobility period, to kind of think about what you wish to gain from your period abroad. The University of Jyväskylä has also set learning goals for mobility periods abroad. And they include, for example, that students should deepen their academic expertise while abroad, create networks with other experts in the field, develop their language skills, interaction skills, cooperation skills, and the ability to work in multilingual and multicultural environments, increase their self-confidence and self-knowledge, and the ability to cope with uncertainty and flexibility, and to develop their critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills. After completing the mobility period, the goals also include understanding the meaning of various cultural factors and contexts to interaction, to be conscious of and analyze the factors affecting the formation and transformation of one's own cultural identity, to understand and respect cultural diversity, and to be interested in global issues and to study them from new perspectives. Some of these goals might also be your personal goals, so you might want to think about these goals and kind of think, what are the specific goals for you and the skills that you specifically want to emphasize and improve while you are abroad. Well, when we think about the skills that you can learn abroad, the kind of the traditional view on the skills is that you learn a language, you become more tolerant and get cultural knowledge of the host country and of different cultures. However, the extended view on international expertise also includes many other skills, not only the most obvious skills that you first think of when you think of a period abroad. And the extended view includes, for example, such skills as curiosity, resilience, and productivity. A few years ago, there was a study made where employers in Finland were interviewed on the attributes which they think are significant in the recruitment process. And as a result of the study, it turned out that the employers did value the international experience. However, they thought that it was more important or the skills that the students had acquired while they are abroad were viewed as even more important. So it wasn't and it is not enough to tell in a job interview or in your application for a job that, oh, you know, I have international experience and I have studied abroad. It's more important and the employers value it more when you are able to say and specify the skills that you have gained while being abroad. You know, whether they are communication skills or cooperation skills, networking ability, interest towards new issues and so on, it's important that you are able to convey to the future employer what skills you have learned while you have been abroad. So in order to do that, set goals before your exchange to maximize the benefits and to be aware of this. So before the exchange or before going abroad, try to recognize the skills that you wish to improve while you are abroad. You may also want to attend some of the MOVI courses in order to get some tools for recognizing the skills and to be able to, of course, cope while abroad. And of course, when you are abroad, think about these skills and try to develop them and try to be aware of the process. And after the study period abroad, remember to demonstrate the skills that you have gained in your CV, in your job application, and in the future job interviews that you go to. And you could already see some of the skills on the previous slides, but here's a recap of them. So some of the skills that you may want to improve are, for example, expertise in your own study field, your language skills, your problem-solving skills, cooperation skills, communication skills, knowledge of different cultures, self-confidence, etc., etc. You may also have some other skills that you may want to improve. So do think about them. And then to study planning. Before the exchange, talk about your course choices, the courses that you wish to complete at the host university with your faculty or program coordinator. Each faculty has an international coordinator with whom you can talk about your course plans. And if you study in a master's program, do talk with your program coordinator as well to make sure that you can include the studies that you complete abroad in your master's degree. Each student is required to complete a learning agreement. The learning agreement is a study plan, which is approved by the home university and the host university. For Erasmus students, the learning agreement is completed electronically through Mobility Online, and you will receive further instructions on how to complete the learning agreement by email. For other programs, the learning agreement is also part of the Mobility Online workflow. And for other programs, you will also receive further instructions on how the process goes by email in more detail. When it comes to approving the learning agreement, there are a few differences between the different programs. For Erasmus students, after the electronic learning agreement has been completed in Mobility Online, your faculty level international coordinator will approve the learning agreement. After this step, there is a bit of variation on how the process goes further. Within the Erasmus program, universities should start working or should have already started using a digital or online learning agreement, but everything hasn't gone as planned beforehand, and there are still many universities who are not equipped to use online or digital learning agreements, and therefore, if your host university cannot use digital or process the digital or online learning agreements yet, you will get a link in your Mobility Online workflow through which you can download their learning agreement in PDF format and send it by email to your host university for signatures. However, if everything goes well and your host university already uses online or digital learning agreements, the learning agreement should go digitally to your host university for approval. And you would, in that case, not have to send the learning agreement manually by email. Further instructions on this will be sent to you by email. For other programs, the way to handle the learning agreements is a bit more traditional. You should send the learning agreement for approval to your faculty level international coordinator and then to your host university for signatures by email. So everything works by email for the other programs. And when creating your learning agreement, remember to list 30 ECTS credits per semester to your study plan. Oh, Vanessa has a question. Go ahead.
Yes, I was planning on writing my master's thesis while on exchange. So taking a course load of 30 credits while writing the thesis might be too much. So how do I proceed? Do I just still put in 30 credits and then, or yeah?
Yeah, write the master's thesis in your learning agreement. And if you are taking courses in addition, then list them also in the learning agreement. But you can mention and do mention the learning agreement in the learning agreement so that your faculty level coordinator here knows that you are going to work on your master's thesis, and also that the host university knows your plan of completing your master's degree abroad. If you need a supervisor from your host university, and if you haven't been in contact with them about this, I recommend you do that as soon as possible. It might take some time to find a supervisor if you need one. In some cases, it might sometimes be a little challenging, depending on your topic, of course. But this is something that you should check from your host university. Hopefully you will have a good contact to your supervisor here in Jyväskylä as well during your exchange.
Yep.
It's also, sorry, I was talking as well. But it's a good idea to also check from the host university if they have any requirements concerning the amount of credits that you need to do there. If they have a minimum limit, for example, I know some universities outside Europe, they want students to complete at least one course, or it might be related to a visa or residence permit that you need to do a certain amount of courses while abroad. So also check if your host university have any requirements for you.
Yes, yeah, I already did that and it didn't specifically state anything. So I was planning on writing my thesis and just taking like a big language course.
Okay. All right. Good, good. Okay, shall we go to the next slide then? And then we'll go to a more practical side of exchange and housing. Many host universities offer student housing, however, not all. If student housing is offered, you may be able to apply for it through your host university or through the organization which offers student housing. In some of the host universities, you may have to apply for housing from the private sector. In that case, it might be good to consider perhaps going to the host university or going to the host country first, or book a temporary accommodation in the host country first, and then look for housing from the temporary accommodation. However, do follow the instructions and tips that you get from your host university when it comes to searching for housing. Be careful with your tenancy agreement and check carefully what the rent is, what's included in the rent. For example, if electricity or gas or an internet connection or whatever is included or isn't included in the rent. And also be very careful about the termination conditions of the lease, whether the lease can be terminated, for example, if you need to leave earlier or whatever the reason might be. Also be aware that there may be scammers who pretend they have an apartment on offer, whereas in reality they do not, and they only want to take your money. So please be careful when renting a place from a private landlord. In Jyväskylä, if you live in a student apartment, you can temporarily assign your apartment to someone else at Soihtu, in other words, Kortepohja. However, at KOAS, that is not possible, but you can sublet it to someone else if you want to. And for both of these options, you can find more information on the website of the housing providers. If you want to rent or sublet your room, you can find more information. You can rent them, for example, through the student union website. Also, there are some other websites through which you may want to offer your apartment to other people. If you want to specifically target incoming students that come to Jyväskylä for exchange, you may want to use the student union's apartment forum, as we also instruct our incoming students to follow this apartment forum. All students who go on exchange through the university get a travel grant, and you can apply for it through Mobility Online. Instructions will be sent to you by email. I don't think they have been sent to anyone yet, so you can expect to receive them later in the spring if you are going abroad during the autumn semester, and in the autumn if you are going abroad in the spring semester. If there are any students who go on Nord Plus exchange, the application process for the grant may be a little different, and the application is not through Mobility Online. You can contact your faculty level international coordinator for more information. Those of you who are going to Switzerland also have a differing grant payment system. For those going to Switzerland, get their grant from the host university, not from the University of Jyväskylä. And also the application process is then done with the host university. Please apply for the grant only after you know for sure that you can and are going to the host university, in order to avoid paying back the grant if your exchange is cancelled. During the pandemic, especially there have been situations when exchanges have been cancelled at very last minute, and at least some of the ENA students outside Europe have had such situations also during this current semester. So unfortunately, things are not 100% back to normal in that respect yet. But when it comes to your dates for which we can pay your grant, the beginning date can be the date when you must be present at the host university in order to study there. The day can be the recommended arrival date, the first orientation day, or the first day of a language course if you are attending one. The ending date can be the last day in which you complete studies at your host university. So for example, the last exam date. Unfortunately, it's not possible to get a grant for the time that you spend abroad before your studies begin. So for example, if you go on holiday before the exchange, or if even if you go to the host university to take care of some practicalities before your exchange begins, the beginning date of the grant is the date when your studies actually begin at the host university. And the same goes for the ending date. If you stay at the host in the host country after your studies have ended, you are unfortunately not able to get a grant for that time period. The grant will be paid to you on the last day of the preceding month before your exchange, of course, provided that you have applied for the grant within the dates that we will give you in the instruction email that you will receive later. The grant doesn't affect the Finnish student financial aid if you receive it, and it's not tax deductible. We pay the grant on condition that you study physically at the host university, that you are present physically in person at the host university in the host country and in the city where you intend to study. If it so happens that the teaching at your host university is done remotely, it's still online, but you are physically at the host in the host city, you can still receive the grant. However, if you remain in Finland or in your own home country and study remotely to your host university, you are not entitled to the grant. So you are always in order to get the grant, you are always required to travel to the host country and the host city and to study from there. For Erasmus exchange students, a quarantine period can be counted as part of the grant period if there is still a mandatory quarantine period in your host country. So if you just want to go there just to make sure, it's not enough. It has to be a mandatory quarantine period that the country in question requires from people coming from abroad. Then to finish study aid, if you receive it during the exchange, students can get normal study aid, the same that they get in Finland. The housing allowance for studying abroad is fixed, and it's not dependent on the amount of the rent. It's also possible to get a study loan from abroad. And if you receive Finnish study aid, you should notify Kela. You can apply for it online. Information on the dates of your stay abroad will go directly to Kela from our systems after you have applied for your scholarship through Mobility Online. If you receive Finnish study aid and need a certificate of it from Kela earlier, you are required to provide Kela with a separate certificate on your exchange, and you can get it from the international office separately. So the automatic transmission of the dates will only go to Kela after you have applied for your grant. All students studying abroad are required to be registered students of the University of Jyväskylä also during their studies abroad. So remember to register for attendance in the OILI service as normally, and further information on the registration can be found on our website. An alternative to the OILI registration service. So for example, if you are not able to use a Finnish bank account where you could recognize yourself strongly for the registration, you can also register by paying the student union membership fee to the student union's account, and by sending or showing the receipt at the student services office. You are also required to pay a healthcare fee to Kela from during your exchange period. The deadline for registering for attendance is at the end of July, so remember to do that for the next academic year by that date. Otherwise, you are required to pay a re-registration fee when you do register. And also, if you are required to pay tuition fees for the university, this requirement is also valid during the exchange. Before going abroad, it's a good idea to think about your language skills and whether they need brushing up. You can brush up your language skills, for example, by attending language courses at MOVI. Yesterday, there was a session given by MOVI on the different possibilities. So if you haven't, if you didn't take part in that session, I recommend you watch the video or have a look at the slides afterwards. One of the possibilities that MOVI offers is Each One Teach One, where students teach their own languages to the other students. You may also want to learn some basics, for example, of the host country's language through apps, or you want to you may even want to brush up your language skills in the language of studying through apps. Some of the apps through which you can study languages are listed on our slides. There are also others. If you have some good tips, do let us know as well. If you are an Erasmus student, you have a possibility to study languages through OLS, Online Language Support, which is a language support system for Erasmus students. However, the old system is going through they're creating a new system which will open in July, hopefully, for the next academic year. The European Commission is working on the new OLS system, and we don't know the very specific details yet on what the system will be like, but it is set to open in July. So you will be able to, if you are Erasmus students, you will be able to make use of the all services and courses only after July when the new system has opened. We will send you more information on this as soon as we know. And a few words about the alls. I think I have covered most of this. So stay tuned for the online language system. Hopefully by July, we will know more and we will send you instructions and a request to test your language skills through alls. So the system is meant for Erasmus students to test their language skills before the exchange and to take online language courses after they have tested their current skills. And then after the exchange, they can test their language skills again to see if there has been any improvement. In order to cope with going to a new country, there was a session yesterday given by Lotta Kokkonen from MOVI on facing new cultures, how to get the most out of your stay abroad. If you didn't attend the session, you can soon find it, or you can soon find a link to the video on our website. And I highly recommend Lotta's session. Lotta is a great speaker, so it's a nice and a good session, and provides you with good tools for coping abroad. And then I think I'll give the floor to Dean, and she will continue with the residence permits.
Yes, exactly. So about the residence permits and visas for your study abroad. If you are a Nordic citizen and going abroad to a Nordic country for an exchange, you don't need to have a residence permit or a visa, but you just need to have a valid passport when you travel. If you are an EU citizen and you are going to another EU country for your exchange, you must obtain a residence permit in the host country. So you don't need to do that in advance, but you will do that at your host country. And if you are a non-EU citizen and you are going to another EU country, you can stay up to 360 days in another EU country. But you must register in the host country if this is required by the host country officials. So you need to find out this beforehand. And the requirement is that your residence permit in Finland must be valid for the entire exchange period. If you're going for an exchange to another country outside the EU, you most likely will need a student visa or residence permit to enter the country. And you must apply for this before entering the country from the country's embassy in Finland. And please apply early enough. So when you receive the letter of admission from your host university, apply as soon as possible for the visa or the residence permit, because especially during the pandemic, there have been delays on getting an appointment, for example, for a visa interview. So apply early enough. You can find information on our website on how to apply for a residence permit or a visa to different countries. But please go to the website of the host country's embassy as well to find out the more detailed information and the latest information. Our website is not updated every day, so you need to actually go to the embassy's website as well to see the latest information on how to apply. And take into consideration special circumstances caused by the pandemic. As I mentioned, there has been delays during the pandemic on getting an appointment for the visa or the residence permit. And about healthcare, if you are an EU citizen in the EU area and going to the EU area or to Norway, Iceland or Switzerland for an exchange, you need to have the European Health Insurance card with you when you go abroad. If you already don't have that, you can apply from the social security organization of the country where you are insured. In Finland, this is ELA, where you can apply for the card. And with this card, you can get public medically necessary care with local prices. But the local prices may be expensive if you need to do a major surgery, for example. So it's I recommend that you also have complementary insurance when you travel to EU countries. And if you are going to other countries outside the EU, and if you are not an EU citizen, you definitely need to have a private health insurance for the period when you travel. And a few words about the vaccinations for study abroad periods. On the website of UTHS, the Student Healthcare Service, you can find a pre-travel health assessment form through their self-service. So please fill in that form about 3 months prior to your departure to see if any vaccinations are needed for your host country. The basic vaccinations are free at the Student Healthcare Service. So you can get a booster dose if needed for those basic vaccinations. But for other vaccinations, if you need to, for example, have a hepatitis vaccination, you can ask for a prescription from the Student Healthcare Service, and then you need to buy the vaccination yourself from a pharmacy and then go back to the Student Healthcare Service to get the vaccination. And as I mentioned earlier already, if you haven't had the COVID-19 vaccination, please go and get that done before the exchange. If you are going to a more exotic country, malaria medication may be needed in some areas, so take that into consideration. If you need a health certificate for your host university, please notice that the Student Healthcare Service no longer makes these, so you need to go to the nearest healthcare center, or you can get that from the private clinic, from a private healthcare center if needed. If you have any long-term medication that you are taking, please do not quit taking the medication prescribed to you during the exchange. So take enough medication with you for the entire exchange period if needed. And also remember to show your prescriptions at customs when you travel. And please take into consideration the customs regulations of the host country. So you might not be able to take a large amount of medication, but you need to make sure with the customs if it's possible. Finnish prescriptions are valid in the EU, but you might want to get an English version of your prescription from your doctor if you don't already have one. Finnish prescription medicine are sold in online pharmacies, but they only deliver to Finnish addresses. And remember to maintain good hand hygiene while traveling. This is very familiar to us all. And you might want to take some diarrhea medicine with you when you travel in case you, for example, have tourist diarrhea when you go to your exchange destination. And about insurance, University of Jyväskylä does not insure its students when they go for a student exchange abroad. So you should get a private travel insurance for the whole period of your exchange. If you are going for an unpaid internship abroad, you are insured by the university, but this only covers accidents that happen at work during the internship, not accidents that might happen during your free time. So I recommend that also the trainees going abroad would have a private insurance. Travel insurances can be continuous or trip specific, but usually they are only valid for a period of up to 3 months for a trip that would last for a 3-month period. So you most likely will need to have some extra days for your travel insurance so that it will definitely cover the whole period of your exchange. The continuous insurances may be more affordable. And your if you have a home insurance, please check if your it covers also your luggage insurance. So that might be part of your home insurance. So check if you already have home insurance, what it covers. Please compare insurance companies before making a decision. You might want to compare the Finnish insurance companies, but there are also some international insurance companies if you want to have a look at them. For example, the SIP student insurance program has been quite good for some of our incoming exchange students, for example. And issues that affect travel insurance price, if you already have another insurance, such as the home insurance in the same company, you might get a good deal on your travel insurance. The length of your travel, of course, will influence the price, the destination country as well. Insurances are more expensive to some parts of the world. The excess and the amount of the compensation. And also the activities that you will do during the exchange. So different sports may not be included in the insurance. And pay attention to the insurance validity. As I mentioned, you may need to purchase additional days or months to cover your whole study abroad period. And make sure that the insurance also covers the treatment for COVID-19. So that's really important during these days. And when you do get to travel, wait before making any travel arrangements until your host university has confirmed the exchange and you have the confirmation that you can actually travel to your host country, that you have received the visa or the residence permit if that is required by your host country. So wait until you actually know that you can go for the exchange. And when you have the confirmation, make sure that your tickets can be changed if necessary and that they will be refunded in case of cancellation. Also consult your credit card company on the possible refunds in case of cancellation of travel arrangements. And take into consideration the possible entry regulations as well of the host country. A transit through another country may affect your entry into the host country. So you may need to stay in quarantine if you fly transit to from another country. And then more about traveling. You can find luggage regulations on the airline company website that you are using to travel. Usually you can take a maximum of 20 kilos as luggage, and excess luggage can also be sent by travel cargo. And when you travel, you always need to carry your passport or your picture ID with you. And also take into account your carbon footprint. So if possible, find out if you can travel by train or bus instead of flying. And please remember to wear a mask, keep social distance whenever possible, and good hand hygiene as you would do here as well. If you already don't have the ISIC card, the International Student Identity Card, it's a good idea to get one. You can get it from the frank.fi address or from the ISIC website, either or. This ISIC card doesn't replace the local student cards, which you can also get from your host university, but this might give you a discount on flights, for example, or some sites at the host country. Then a few words about the financial matters during the exchange. You may have a Visa Electron card, for example, and with this you can get withdraw cash in many countries. You can pay in many places. However, new cards are not, you cannot order new cards anymore. Visa will end Visa Electron cards in 2024. So you cannot get those anymore. But if you have them, they are quite useful abroad as well. I recommend that you get an international credit card when you travel to your host country. So with that, you can take care of financial matters abroad as well. Check the card expiration date and limits if you already have an international credit card. If you are going to an EU country for your exchange, you can take care of bank transfers through the EU payment system, as you would do here in Finland as well. And when you consider online banking or to use online banking abroad, remember that your mobile phone data protection when using public Wi-Fi. So check that everything's safe when you use online banking abroad. A new bank account may not be needed in SEPA countries which use the EU payment system. So it might not be necessary to open a new bank account in your host country if you're going to the EU area. But for other countries, if you're traveling outside Europe, you may need to ask the former exchange students who have already been in your host country if they needed to open a bank account there. The host university will also advise you on this if it's necessary. Before you travel, you need to make a change of address. You can do this at the Digital and Population Data Services Agency, formerly known as the Register Office, and also at the post office. But you can do this in this one website of DVV. So remember to take care of that as well before you go. Then about safety abroad, we had a session about this yesterday. You can find the slides from that session on our website later this week, but that session was actually in Finnish, so I can say a few words about safety abroad now. So remember that anything can happen anywhere, so please be cautious when you travel. We will have a consent to individual liability form as part of the scholarship application. And by filling in this form, you are consenting that you will accept that you are yourself responsible for going abroad, that it is your responsibility to find out about the country's security situation, and that you will have insurance for the entire exchange period, and that you will also do the travel announcement, which I will mention in a few minutes, on the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs. So these are the sort of things that you are consenting by signing the individual liability form. So do follow actively the website of the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare about the coronavirus pandemic situation in different countries. Also the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland and of your home country. So follow the information concerning the general security situation of the host country. So besides the pandemic, there are many issues happening around the world. So be active and follow these websites on things that are happening in your host country. Also follow the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of the host country or the website of CWT Travel Management on the entry requirements during the COVID-19 pandemic. And also follow our university's coronavirus instructions. So many websites for you to follow. So find out the host universities and the possible transit countries, entry and quarantine requirements before you travel. Find out beforehand what kind of a country and city you're headed for. Pay special attention to the local culture, customs, habits, norms about clothing, for example, and how to dress in the host country. Please remember to have an ICE number in case of emergency number in your mobile phone. So if something happens, the medical people can contact your in case of emergency person. The emergency number in EU is 112, same as in Finland. But if you're going outside the EU, find out what the emergency number is in your host country and save it to your phone as well. if something happens during your exchange, a crisis of some kind, a natural disaster, for example, or something else, hopefully nothing will happen, but if something happens, follow the instructions of the local authorities. You can get help from a Finnish embassy or from the embassy of your home country abroad. There's also an online consul of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland, which helps in Facebook. This is in Finnish. So when you travel, check out the travel advice from the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland. They have country-specific information on their website, which is really useful when you travel. So check those out. I believe they are in Finnish, so you might want to check, for example, from the Foreign Affairs of the UK, for example, for advice in English. And please make the travel notification on the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland or on the website of your home country's ministry. This is really important. So if there's some crisis or a natural disaster, for example, the ministry will know that you are abroad and they will contact you and see if you are safe. If you do not make the travel notification, the ministry will not know that you are there. So please remember to do that. It's really simple. You can do that on the website of the ministry. And some things to consider when you are abroad. Generally, it's safe to travel pretty much anywhere in the world, but you need to be aware of a few things. For example, the COVID-19 pandemic, as you know, will cause some, or you need to be careful with social distances and wearing a mask and so on. You know the drill. Pocket thieves are very common, especially in some of the bigger cities. Traffic might be very different in your host country than compared to Finland, for example. Giving your contact information to strangers is not recommended. Drugs, the legislation might be very strict concerning drugs in some countries, so do not do those. Walking alone after dark is not recommended. There might be demonstrations in some cities, some countries, more so than in Finland, so you might want to avoid those. And natural disasters are very common in some countries. There might be hurricanes, floods, earthquakes. So if something like that happens, you should follow the instructions of the local authorities. You can find country-specific safety situation on different websites. Here's one example, the Vision of Humanity, where you can see, well, this is an old version from 2020. This might be very different today, but you can find country-specific safety situation through different websites. So that's something you can also have a look. So a recap, these are very important things. Before you travel, remember the travel advice on the website of the ministry. The travel notifications, please have a look at the travel notification of your host country before traveling. Make sure that you have a valid travel insurance for the entire period of your exchange. Check your travel documents that your passport is valid for the entire period of your stay, and also that you have the correct visa or a residence permit if needed by your host country. And during the pandemic, follow actively and obey the instructions of other authorities concerning the pandemic. Hopefully the pandemic will calm down in the autumn, but we just don't know. Then if you wish to share your experiences during the exchange with other students, you might want to make a post to our Instagram account, JYU Study Abroad account. If you're interested in posting some of your experiences during the exchange, you can send us an email to the International Office email address. You can also keep a blog during the exchange, and you can let us know the address of your blog through Mobility Online. And In the Instagram posts or in your blog, you should tell about your host university, your host country, the city, the culture, the customs, the studies that you do there, the accommodation, the free time activities, and so on. And if you make enough posts in Instagram or you keep a blog during the exchange, these will compensate the travel report that each exchange student is required to write after the exchange. So we will talk about that later today, but this is an option for you. Okay, then we are moving to the during the exchange section.
Okay, so once you have arrived at the host university, in many cases you are required to register at the host university. The registration may take place in the local international office or a student affairs office, or during the pandemic, it might be also done remotely. Often an orientation is also offered at the beginning of the study period. Please make sure you take part in the orientation if there is one, as it does give good advice and a good start for your studies abroad. Usually, if you are going outside Europe, you have to apply for the residence permit before your study period abroad. If you are going to a country where a residence permit is not needed, you may still need to register your right to stay in the country in question. So, for example, if you are an EU citizen and going to another EU country, often you are required to register your right to reside in the country in question by visiting a local office of an appropriate authority. When it comes to mobile phones, we recommend changing your PIN code to something a bit more complicated if it's not. Also remember to have good data protection on your phone. If going outside Europe, you may want to check what kind of a mobile phone system your host country uses. There are some countries where, for example, the GSM system is not used, and you may therefore have to acquire another phone in order for your mobile phone to work in the country in question. It's a good idea to set a maximum euro for the data transfer, so that you are not charged a terrible amount for the data that you use. So do set a limit, a euro limit for your data transfer in your mobile phone deal. Remember that there are no roaming fees inside the EU if you have a European mobile phone deal, and this concerns a sort of a not a, an indefinite amount of data, but sufficient amount of data. So do check the deal, your mobile phone deal, to see how much data you can use without roaming fees inside the European Union. If you are going outside the European Union, do check the roaming fees before from your mobile phone operator. And if needed, you may want to switch to a more affordable deal for your study abroad period. You may also want to consider on acquiring a new mobile phone, or at least a new operator in the host country, so that you can use your mobile phone outside Europe a bit more affordably. You can get tips on cheap mobile phone operators from your host university, from some students who have studied abroad previously, from the local students, and so on. Whenever Wi-Fi is available, it's of course a good idea to use it. Of course, bearing in mind the risks, especially if using services where you want to be mindful of your data. When you are abroad, remember to stay in touch with your family, with your mom and dad, let them know that you're okay, and also keep in contact with your friends back at home, so that they know what's going on with you, and so that they know that you are safe. While abroad, do try to make friends outside the exchange student circles in order to know, get to know the locals there, and get to know the host country more. Of course, as you may know, it might in some cases be difficult to make friends with the locals, depending of course a lot on the country. But for example, taking part in local clubs and activities may make it easier to network and to get contacts with the locals. Also, we recommend staying up to date of what's going on in the host country by, for example, reading local newspapers or watching local news of the host country. In many countries in Europe, there is an Erasmus student network which organizes many activities for international students and for internationally minded students. So do take part in those activities if they are organized. During the pandemic, some of the activities may be organized online. Do take part in those as well, and make use of those possibilities as well if it's not possible to take part in meetings in person. Then some of the practicalities at the end of your stay that you have to take care of. For Erasmus students, you are required to get a letter of confirmation from your host university, confirming the dates of your stay at the host university. For Erasmus interns, you have a similar form, a work placement confirmation form, which is used also to confirm your work placement dates at the host or organization. Ask for a signature for this form at the end of your study period and return it through Mobility Online to us after your exchange period has ended. The dates in this certificate will be compared to the grant dates that you have applied for before your exchange started. So please pay attention to the dates. While you are abroad, please promote the University of Jyväskylä. This is particularly important in order to keep our exchange agreements alive and in order to be able to send students abroad also in the future. So it's important to get exchange students also to our university from our partner university. So hopefully you could promote the University of Jyväskylä to the local students. We have brochures on our website, some videos, PowerPoint presentations, etc., that you can use to promote our university for the local students. And more information on our university can be found on the university website. Learn some of the basic facts beforehand, so that you are confident in telling about our university while abroad. Some of the facts include, for example, that we have 6 faculties and that we offer many courses in English for exchange students, and also have excellent student services for incoming students. If you wish, you can also write about your experiences to Unity, the university magazine for stakeholders. The topic of the story for this magazine should be a bit broader than just the exchange. If you have such a topic in mind and would like to share it with the readers of the Unity magazine, do contact the university PR department to pitch your idea. Hopefully you won't cancel your exchange or interrupted. But if you do have to cancel your exchange, please notify us at the International Office about it, and also your faculty level international coordinator. If you get Finnish Study Aid, notify Kela as well that you have cancelled the exchange. If you cancel your exchange through because of COVID-19, the cancellation won't affect your future exchange application negatively if you decide to apply to study abroad later. The minimum length of the exchange, depending on your exchange program, is 2 to 3 months. However, please note that in most cases, exchanges that are this short are in practice not possible, because usually the courses at the host university last for the whole semester. However, in cases of interrupting your exchange, the minimum duration of the exchange may save you from returning the entire scholarship to the university, and you may be able to keep part of it. But in practice, the minimum length of the stay is not a possibility, as courses often last for the entire semester. Well, if you cancel or interrupt your exchange and you are an Erasmus, Nordplus or Nordplus student, and the exchange is cancelled due to the pandemic, if you have no expenses related to the exchange, you have to return the grant in full. If you have exchanges and your exchange has already begun, if your travel or insurance company do not cover the costs of the cancelled or interrupted exchange, you may keep the whole grant or part of it, depending on the expenses and the exchange program. For Erasmus students, if there have been some expenses and the exchange has not yet started, again, if your travel or insurance company does not cover the costs that you have had because of the exchange, you are required to make an application to the Finnish Education Agency in Helsinki, and they will make a decision on whether you are allowed to keep part of your grant. The amount usually consists of the travel costs that you have had during the exchange. If the exchange is cancelled due to other than force majeure reasons, including the pandemic, usually you not get any expenses reimbursed and have to take care of all the fees yourself. When it comes to other programs, if your exchange is cancelled due to reasons beyond your own control, for example, if your host university decides to cancel the exchanges, again, if no expenses, you have to return the grant in full. If you have some expenses and your travel or insurance company doesn't cover any of the costs occurred, you may keep the whole grant or part of it, depending on the expenses. If you have not yet received the grant, but you have had expenses, unfortunately, when it comes to other exchange programs than Erasmus, they will not be covered by the university. In case of cancellations or interruptions, do find out if your host university allows you to study remotely so that you could continue your courses to the host university from Finland or from your home country. And if that is the case, do let us know the virtual study dates so that we can take a note of them. And just a reminder, we have covered most of this. Follow the normal pandemic instructions. So wear a mask, keep a social distance, and maintain good hand hygiene, and follow the instructions that you get from your host university. Keep a European health insurance card or an insurance card with you at all times, so that if something happens, you have the card with you. Also, keep track and follow the local regulations on the COVID-19 pandemic and possible restrictions and curfews. And when you get to the host destination, make sure where to find the local health center and hospital and where to get help if needed. So, for example, in case of emergency. Remember to follow your emails regularly and keep us informed if there are any changes to your exchange period. Also, keep your host university informed of any changes. Also, while abroad, remember to follow only reliable media and follow the advice of dependable authorities only. Well, if it so happens that you have to return home, for example, of a pandemic or if there is a catastrophe or something unexpected happens, do plan ahead a little bit on how you would then arrange your living situation in Finland or in your home country. And then to the time after your exchange, and Tiina will continue.
Yes, we are running out of time, but I'll only have a few things I want to say about the after the exchange. There are a few documents that you need to return to us after the exchange. So you need to write a travel report of your exchange period or a training report or a blog in the mobility online. This applies to all exchange students. And the travel report is something that students can use and they do study them when they consider going abroad. So they are very useful for our students. You may have probably read some of those as well in the mobility online. You also need to upload the host university's transcript of records to the mobility online after the exchange. And you also have a possibility to give feedback to us at the university on how everything went with the practicalities concerning your exchange. Then Erasmus students, you also need to submit your final learning agreement to us. This also applies to NordLus and NordPlus students. And as Laura mentioned, the Erasmus students need to return the letter of confirmation or the work placement confirmation if you've done an internship abroad within 1 month after the end of your exchange. And you may need to do an EU survey as well, or complete the second part of the OLST language test. But these are to be confirmed. We will let you know later, probably in July, if you need to do this after the exchange. Then about the credit transfer after the exchange. So the courses that you complete abroad will not automatically appear in your transcript here at the University of Jyväskylä. So you need to apply for the credit transfer separately. You can do major studies or minor studies or transfer the courses that you have done abroad to your major or to your minor. Please contact the international coordinator at your home faculty to find out how you need to apply for the credit transfer. They will help you with that. It's also possible to combine a new minor study program from the courses that you have completed abroad. In this case, you need to contact the faculty, the home faculty, to do that. You can also apply for language study credits for the language courses that you have completed abroad from MOVI. You can also get language study credits for courses completed in a foreign language during your exchange. For example, if you have done physics courses in Germany, in German, you can apply for language credits up to a maximum of 8 credits worth. If you have studied, let's say, physics in Germany in English, you can get a maximum of 4 credits. So just the fact that you have studied in a foreign language abroad, you can get language credits from OBI. So that's definitely something you should do and apply for after the exchange. The international office will organize a re-entry orientation twice a year. You will get an invitation to this event via email after your exchange. And during this re-entry orientation, we will talk about the practicalities that you need to take care of after the exchange in a more detail. And you will also have a possibility to share your study abroad experiences with other students who are in a similar situation that you are after the exchange. So it's a good way to get some peer support after the exchange. Okay, we are done with our slides. Now we have some room for questions if you have any at this point. You are welcome to just open your mic if you have any questions related to your exchange. I don't see any questions in the chat.
I can quickly ask one. Can you hear me?
Sorry?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
So if I'm applying for the spring 2023, do I need to take the language test before, like around summer or after my application is done?
Are you going for it?
It does depend a lot on where you are applying for. Yeah. and whether they require a language test and what kind of a test they do require. So
I'm talking about the one that I saw in the workflow of Nordly's the platform. It was something starting with O. It was also there in the presentation because we have to come back and again take the second part of the test.
Okay, so you are talking about the online, the OLS test, the online language
Yes.
support
Yes.
test. Well, the OLS system will, the new OLS system will open in July, and those receiving an Erasmus grant will get an invitation to the OLS system, hopefully in July, as soon as the European Commission has opened the new system. However, depending on your host university, they may require a language certificate from you. There is variation between the universities on what kinds of requirements they have. If a language test is required, it should usually not be the OLS language test that is required, because the OLS test is usually only, it's meant only for students themselves and for the sending universities and not for the host universities. However, I know that some universities do ask for the results, although they actually shouldn't be, since that's not the purpose of the system.
Okay,
however, the host university may in some cases ask for a language certificate, which is provided, for example, by MOVI, or even some universities may require some other language test results, TOEFL or IELTS, for example.
Yeah, understood. So this this thing has not to be confused with IELTS or TOEFL.
Sorry, I did not quite hear your last comment.
I just said that, like, from what I understand now, this is for students and it has not to be confused with IELTS or TOEFL requirements of the university.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
I guess I've got a quick one, if you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
I was looking at going to an exchange to Italy, and I don't think there's a country-specific presentation for that country for outgoing. You recommend, or I was recommended to look for a list of students who have gone to Italy in the past. Is there any other information or things I could find on maybe UBASCA website or somewhere else about Italy exchanges?
The travel reports might be a good way for you to get information from the previous students who have studied abroad. However, some of the travel reports may be in Finnish, so you could perhaps use Google Translate to get some information. You can contact us to get contacts of students who have studied in Italy before. Of course, because of the pandemic, there has been now a two-year period when we haven't had a whole lot of people studying anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. And only this spring semester have things picked up. And we are back to our normal study abroad numbers, but for quite a while we didn't really have anyone going anywhere, hardly. Mm-hmm. Any tips from you, Tiina?
No, you can contact us through this email address that you can see there on the screen, and we can share the information of those students who have been in your host university before. If we have any, as Laura mentioned, there have been a break in student exchanges during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But do send us an email and we can see if there are any students who have been in your host university.
Okay.
If you have specific questions, you may also want to get in touch with your faculty level coordinator. They may, in some cases, have perhaps answers from you for you, especially if they have had the partner university for a long time and they may have more experience with the partner university.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at the University of Palermo. So I think it's actually through the For Them partnership, but then I'm applying sort of through Erasmus. So I'm not sure how many people have gone there. I briefly looked up the travel blog here and it looks like they've got one here. So yeah, I'll read that after translating.
Yeah, That is a fairly new partner to us, and there probably haven't been that many people who have studied there before. As you are going to a Fordham University, you could ask for tips from our Fordham office as well. So we could also provide you with the email address of our Fordham people, because they might have some information for you as well.
Sure. Yeah, that would be great. And I think I'll read some more of these ones from Italy as well, because it's, I'm sure, somewhat similar culture between the different areas.
Sounds like a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anything else to ask at this point? If not, thank you for participating. If you have any questions later on, do feel free to contact us or your faculty level coordinator, and we'll do our best in helping you out.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Is there any way you could put the link to the For Them email in the chat, perhaps?
Sure, let me quickly find it for you. There it is, just a second. So the email address to our For Them team is now in the chat.
Excellent, thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks for the whole presentation. Very good.
Well, thank you for participating, and happy planning for your exchange.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.